Plumb line. I knew somebody would remember that word. Amen. I hope we all did. I hope we all used that. This is a series on statements of faith, standards of faith, whatever you want to call them. But it's going to be this church's statements of what we believe, and we're not going to vary. I probably didn't say it strong enough last week, but once these statements are made, we are not going to vary from these statements. They're going to become the plumb line. They're going to be written on the wall as laws. Okay? And we're going to learn them, not by denominational reasons or religious reasons, but because they're biblical reasons. I didn't promise to you that they would become in order. We may put them in order at a later date. Right now, they're going to come in God's order. That's why I'm already looking forward to next week, because I'm not too sure what His order is. All right, let's pray. Father, we love You with all of our hearts. More than that, we trust You. We trust You enough to risk base and establish our lives on Your very Word. And we will not change. We will not change from that. We will change as You change us, not as the outside forces or even flesh inside forces change us. We've got the plumb line called Jesus Christ, the Word of the living God and the Holy Spirit to remind us. And we're going to stick by that no matter what. We'll mess up once in a while, but we're going to come back to that plumb line. We're going to be a faithful people, loving You enough to obey You. Loving You enough to obey You. Loving You enough to obey You. And not vary from that, because our flesh wants to do something else. We're getting bombarded from all sides by flesh. We're not going to yield to that flesh. We're only going to yield to the Word and the will of God. And that's our final statement in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Last week, we talked about God is always right. No matter what. His Word, His will, His way, even if we disagree with it, we're to suck it up and understand that He's always right. If it makes us sick, if it makes us cry, if it makes it will, you hear every stinking stupid thing in the world. Just suck it up and do it. Believe it, right? Come on, y'all can get involved here right off the bat. God is right. He's always right. I don't care what your mother, brother, sister, father, aunt, uncle, friend, other churches, television ministers, I don't care what they say, God's always right. Okay? And He's been right since the day He made you. That was before the foundations of the earth. And He'll be right the day you're not here anymore. Right? If I die right in front of you this moment, He's right. And He always does right for us. Okay? We're not going to be moved by what we see or feel. We're only going to be moved by what we know. The plumb line of the living God. That was a statement of faith number one. Today we're going to deal with another one. It may not be in what you call your order, but it's in God's order. The title of the message this morning is, If You Take the Freeway, It's Hell. Everybody lives in Denver ought to understand that anyway, but I'll just remind you, if you take the freeway, it's hell. It comes from the belief in the Word. The Word says that wide is the road, wide is the gate, many go down. You remember that? But they go down to the wrong place. Amen? They end up in the wrong place. They're not going where they're supposed to be going. So let me remind you that what that says. If you're doing what everybody else is doing, you're wrong. If you're wearing what everybody else is wearing, you're wrong. If you're saying what everybody else is saying, you're wrong. Isn't this a great way to start a message? If you're getting along with everybody, you're wrong. If you love what the world loves, you're wrong. If all the TV programs on television make sense, you're wrong. They're getting crazier every day. They're getting dumber every day. The Simpsons? Goodness. Married with Children. And I don't even check out the new ones. They're just so idiotic. They're just so stupid. By the way, if you're watching a bunch of cartoons, get your head out of it. That's not real, and it's not good for you. The only thing real is the living Word of God. You get in there first, and everything else will come into vision. It'll come into focus. Amen? All right. Our scripture basis for this entire statement of faith is Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they agree? I will remind you again, that's you and God number one. You can't walk with God unless you agree with Him. You cannot walk with God unless you agree with Him. You cannot walk with God unless you agree with Him. He never has to agree with you. You have to agree with Him. Number two, you can't walk with anybody that doesn't agree with God. Christians, you can't walk with people that don't agree with God. Simple enough? So we're going to find a point we can come in agreement. That's what this is all about. The statements of faith are points that we can agree with God, therefore you and I can come into agreement. Was that too fast? Statements of faith are rules that we write down coming from the Bible that once we can agree with God that those are right, you and I agree with God that those are right, you and I walk in agreement. It's that simple. All right. Today, I want to go through some Scripture. This is not exactly a popular subject. It's one that's trying to be swept under the rug as fast as the religious communities can. But I'm going to tell you that there's a real hell. There is a real hell right now, prepared for those that refuse and disregard the will and law of God. It starts today. It don't start when Jesus returns. It starts today. Everybody here know that hell is already in existence. There's many that have already gone. And then there's some hell in your life that's already established and you need to get rid of it. Come on, we've all been through some. Let's just get real about it. It starts today and goes for eternity. And those that stand against the best for them, go there. Boy, that was one amen. You sure you believe in hell? Then if you believe there, then if you believe that, then you're going to believe that the majority of the people are going there. Because the Bible says so. It says wide and many, narrow and few. Don't preach to me that before Jesus comes, the whole world's going to get saved. You haven't read the Word. Before Jesus comes, everybody will be presented with the gospel. But they won't get saved. Not all of them. Just sit back and sing Jesus Loves Me and relax. The points we will cover today. What is hell? Who is it prepared for? Who goes there? What does someone on their way to hell look and act like? And how do we stay out? That sounds childlike, doesn't it? Simple enough, right? All right, number one, what is hell? A, it's a place where God's presence does not exist. That's why I told you that it starts today. If you walk out of the will of God, you lose His presence, and hell begins. You don't believe me. 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So we know that hell is the absence of the presence of the Lord. If you want me to finish at about 2 o'clock, make sure you turn with me to every verse. If you'll just write it down and let me and believe me that I'm reading from the Word of God, we can go a little faster. Number A, in what is hell? It's where God's presence is not. Now the reason I want to get that across to you is because then you'll understand that it can start today. You walk out of the presence of God, you walk from light into darkness and hell. The Bible says that it'd be better for you to have never known than known and turn away. That's a promise that's not a very good promise, but it is still a promise. Don't turn away. It's hell. B, it's an everlasting punishment with fire. Matthew 25:46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Come on, my job today is to scare some hell out of you. I don't do this often. Everybody here knows that. But we're going to talk about it today because it is what we believe. If you don't obey God, and we'll get into what don't obey God means soon. It doesn't mean kill somebody, rob a bank. That isn't disobeying God. Yes, it is disobeying God, but you're not dealing with that. It's those, remember we talked about last week, it's those little stinking things that trip us up and make us fall out of the presence of God. That's what we're dealing with. I'm not looking at a whole bunch of rotten sinners here. So we're not talking about the big things. We're talking about the little things that might trip us up. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. See, by the way, I want to remind you as we go through this today, you have no decision in this matter except to serve God. If your decision is to not serve God, now let me say one other thing. Your presence or your obedience will never be judged by you. I wish I could gather up 1,000 people that have spit in my face and I'm going to say to them openly, your place in heaven or hell will never be decided by you. And it'll not be decided by kin folks or somebody that says you're okay. It'll be decided by the one, the plumb line, the one that writes the will and the word. And he'll never ask anybody else. And some of the people will say, but I did these things in your name, and I pleaded your blood, and I cried out your name. And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And he will not take their vote. When you talk to people, remember that. Don't let them go because they're hard-headed and obnoxious. Don't let them go to hell just because they want to. Tell them, please don't. All right. See, it's a furnace of fire. Matthew 13:42. And will cast them into a furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So it's not a cleansing fire. It's a torture fire. It's a torturing fire. If anyone in here says, Stan, you're full of baloney, well, that's okay. You take the risk. I'm not going to. I believe that there might, at least I can say there might be a hell. And if there might be a hell, I might not want to go there. Okay? If you're not sure, at least get some hell insurance, man. It's called Jesus. D, it's a lake of fire. Revelation 20:15. Revelation 20:15, and anyone not found written in the book of life, and by the way, that's not an attendance record or a roll book or a membership card, because God never looks at those. He only writes those names and erases those names. Nobody else does. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All right, number two. Why would such a dear God make such a wicked hell? Why is there hell? We can talk about this for about 45 minutes if you'd like. Can I tell you what's going to happen at the end of the hour that we waste? There's still a hell. With your approval or without it, there still is. Whether you figure it out or not doesn't make any difference. There's still a hell. So in your theological discussions and your quiet times and your nightly visions and dreams and beliefs, there's still a hell. No matter what you figure out or you don't figure out. Now, the reason hell was there, what did I say that hell was other than a lake of fire and all that other stuff? The absence of the presence of God. Okay. Number one, He didn't make that. You did. God never makes the absence of His presence. God cannot create the absence of His presence. That may sound complicated, but it really isn't. That's number one. If you can't go with me anywhere else, if you can't believe in the lake of fire, at least believe that God don't hang around stinking stuff. Okay? If you can't go all the way to hell with the recognition or acknowledgement, at least believe that He don't hang around with sinners. Okay. Lake of fire. Why did God make hell? Who is it for? Matthew 25:41. Matthew 25:41. Then He will also say to those on the left hand. Do you remember the left hand, right hand? Always remember that when the Bible talks about left hand, right hand, right hand is the seat of His power. It's a representation of His power. The left hand is the representation of not His power. Okay? In case you want to know why most people are right-handed. Not referring to left-handed people. I'm just saying the physical usually, nearly always, follows the spiritual. Okay. Then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I want to tell you something. Hell was never prepared for people. It was never prepared for people. There was a big rebellion in heaven. By the way, let's already begin to look in the mirror. Listen to me as I speak. When the devil decided that he had no concern for God's feelings, that he didn't care what God thought, and that he could do the job better than God, hell was prepared for him and anybody that would hang around him, follow him, act like him. Now, am I lying? Am I lying? Isn't that what happened? Rebellion against God? Come on. Those of you know the word. Wasn't that what happened? He secretly believed that God might not be doing the best job and that he might have a better idea. And he convinced other people to follow him. What part of angels followed him? A third of the entire angels that God had created followed a wrong person. That person being Lucifer. God said, look, I can't have you hanging around me. I got to prepare a different place. So what he prepared was a place where his presence was not. And when God's presence is not, all hell breaks loose. Now I can give you physical examples of where I think hell is, because the Bible points to it. But really, I don't really care where heaven is, and I don't really care where hell is, just as long as I get to heaven. Right? Let's don't become geography professors. It's not important. I don't care what this is made on, just as long as I can stand on it. Right? All right. It was prepared for Satan, his angels, and everybody that will follow him. Now, let me clarify something right quick. If you're not following God, you are following Satan. There's no such thing as following you. I'm going to follow my own dreams. And the devil goes, now I can insert some dreams. There's no middle of the road. There's no third way. There's follow God or follow Satan. And by the way, that's not a one-time choice. That's an every moment of every day choice. B, it was prepared for false teachers, witnesses, and prophets. False witnesses and false prophets. It was prepared for false teachers, false witnesses, and false prophets. Revelation 20, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are. And they will be tormented day and night forever. Now, I left the scripture out, but you can understand. You go back and you read above. You're going to find out it's false witnesses, false prophets, false teachers. Number three, who goes? Because see, we're finding out as we listen, as we study, that there's more than Satan and his angels going, more than false teachers, false witnesses, and false prophets. Right? Because the Word begins to expand that all of those that are false are going to go. Number three, the answer to who goes, those do not follow God. They're going. Please, if we Christians, we've become numb to this. You can open the door. You can go over to that window and you look out. And nearly everyone you see are on their way to hell. And we act like we don't care. We can look at brothers and sisters and we can watch their hellish ways, their satanic ways, and we act like we don't care. Because we won't speak up. We won't say, please don't do that. Please don't go to hell. Please, that's not worth hell. Psalms 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Who decides who's wicked? God. There's not a person in here that can decide whether they're wicked or not. God only decides. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forgot God. All the tribes. All the families. All the denominations. All the preachers that forgot God. They're going. Revelation 21:8. Woo! Everybody pull their toes back. But cowards who turn back from following me. Anybody that thinks once saved, always saved, you better run this scripture through that theology. But cowards who turn back from following God. And those who are unfaithful to me. That means if you make love with your flesh once in a while, you let that flesh go wild and say a bunch of stupid things and dumb things, and you don't get that control. I'm not talking about instantaneously. I'm talking about working at it and working at it until it's under control. Those who are unfaithful to me, they're going. And the corrupt are going. Murderers are going. And the immoral. Anybody here that just loves all these immoral shows? Just turn them on. They're all over television. Starting with Saturday Night Live all the way up to the nasty junk that you can't even turn on television, including Blind Date and all the other stupid things that you can't even leave on your television. They'll be saying and doing immoral things. What's immoral? Something you wouldn't do in the sight of God. That's immoral. I don't care what it is. If you wouldn't stand before God and Jesus and do it right in front of Him, it's immoral. Say it right in front of Him. It's immoral. And those conversing with the demons. Oh, now we have a television program called what? He's talking to the dead. Crossing over. Now they publicize a false prophet. One that uses the power of God to do illegal things. He perverts the power of God. When the Bible tells you, don't converse with the dead. Don't even try. Which means you can. It says don't try. And by the way, turn off those that do. Who else? And idol worshipers. Idol worshipers. Do you know what the biggest idol that most of us have? Me. Me. No, I take care of me with money. That's how I fall in love with money. I'm so interested in taking care of me. Then I fall in love with money. Power. Authority. Do you know who I am? I wish you did. I wish you did. I wish you really knew who you were. Then you wouldn't have to ask that question. Idol worshippers. Now listen. And all liars. Shall we dance on that for a while? Shall we get up and give God praise for a long time when it says all liars? It doesn't say except for the liars that are doing a good work for Jesus. Because there's been many liars that have done a tremendous work for Jesus and now they're in the lake of fire. Because God's not going to change His Word for your actions. Your actions will conform to God's Word. This is a real uplifting sermon this morning. Let's get it over with. Sometime in the statement of faith, we had to preach a little hell, so now it's here. Here it is. Well, next week we're going to do something a lot better. I already feel it in my bones. But just put up with this one and then get excited about next week. Their doom, Revelation 21:8, is in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. This is the second death. That's what Revelation says. This is the second death. Now, why are those that serve God never to see the second death? They've already died and they're not going to see the second death, the lake of fire. If you die once to Jesus Christ, you will never see the second death. If you don't, you're destined to see the second death. That's Word. That's Bible. Number four. Y'all got your steel-toed commercial industrial boots on? Come on. I put mine on as God was talking to me. You can put yours on now that God's talking to you through me, okay? What does someone look like that is on their way to hell? You see him going down the freeway? It's all about me. Oh, I'm the most important. Oh, I'm going to get there. Get out of my way. And when you get to where you're going, your heart's beating, you're sweating, you're mad at somebody already. It's all about me. That person in front of you might have a more important job than you do. They might have a reason to go faster than you. Get out of the way. Settle down. Let God handle it. Now listen. What does someone look like that is on their way to hell? John, you can turn there with me for this one. I want you to read it with me. I'm going to read the New King James Version. It won't be far off. Number four, what does someone look like that is on their way to hell? John chapter 8, verse 30. I'm going to read 14, 13, 14, 17 verses. My math is not real good right now. John chapter 8, verse 30. As He, Jesus, spoke these words, many believed in Him. Let me tell you that Jesus was a preacher, a teacher, an evangelist, a prophet, a priest, and a king. He preached some. He ministered some. Listen to me. Those that would listen to Him believed in Him. Now, I'm not standing before you this morning as Stan. You want to stand in front of Stan? Let's go to lunch afterwards and I'll just stand all over you. If you want to hear Jesus, you need to believe that Jesus can speak through me differently than I normally speak. Hopefully. Amen? All right. You believe me, you will believe in Jesus. If you believe that Jesus can speak through me, you will believe in Jesus. Okay? I promise you. All right. 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed." Now, let me tell you what Jesus is doing. Jesus is pulling a trick on these people. He knows what they believe and what they don't believe. He knows where they're wrong and where they're right. He's going for the wrong. He's not interested in patting their back for the right. He doesn't say, "My, you're dressed well today. Woo, that perfume smells good. I really do appreciate your church attendance." He doesn't go on that. He begins to touch the dark spots. That's what ministers are supposed to do. So if they're supposed to do that, if Jesus is using them, they will touch a dark spot. Now listen. By the way, He was speaking to what we would call Christians. He wasn't speaking to sinners. He was speaking to those that believed in Him. He was speaking in Jews, which they considered themselves Christians. And of course, that's who He was really speaking to. Now listen. If you abide in My word, what does abide in My word mean? Live there. Not half the time live in My word and half the time live in Jesus' word. Half the time, or most of the time, I'm trying to make the word of God fit My word. If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. First shot He makes. He's already taken out the sword and He's whacked them one time. Let's go for another one. 32. I hope it gets to us. If you abide in My word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, the one thing it didn't say is your word will make you free. So as you're busy telling people off, as we're busy setting people straight, getting him off our back, putting him on our back, whatever we're doing, it never says that that'll help one little bit. It says if you abide in My word and My words abide in you, you will speak the truth and the truth will set them free and you free. Only way we're ever going to be free is the word of God, not our own word. The more we use our word to set us free, the more in bondage we are. 33. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants. I am a Christian. I remember when I went to the altar. I got the blood of Jesus all over me, praise God." Isn't that what they said? "We are Abraham's descendants. We have a contract that can't be broken, once saved, always saved. And have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? How can you make a free man free?" They're talking to Jesus. How many times have we spent time talking back to Jesus? Y'all have. Come on. We all have. We have. All right. 34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." It doesn't say if you're saved, you'll never commit sin. It says you saved people. If you've committed sin, you're a slave to that sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. What's he saying? I don't care what your bloodline is, and I don't care what your testimony is. You sin and you ain't in the house. That's what it says. But a son abides forever. Oh, now Stan, now I got it. I'm a son of God. I know what I'm. Whoop, I got it now. I tricked you on that one. All right, let's read on. 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That just confirms it. 37. I know that you're free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's descendants. I know that you think that you're free and you got a contract. But I want to tell you something. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Now, he's talking to people that know the word a lot better than you. Are you understanding that? He's talking to people that are born. The word shoves down their mouth. It becomes law. It's written on the walls. It's written on their foreheads. It's written all over. It's written. They quote it constantly. And he says the word's not in them. How can that be? I have a testimony. I know I can point to the day. I can point to the hour. I can show you the puddle that's still there that I cried. It's got to be. Well, take that chance if you want to. I'm telling you, it's our high-risk chance. You better work on that salvation today. Yesterdays don't count. Boy, God wants a relation now, today, this moment. Not yesterdays. That's old and stinky. You need a bath. You need to be born again, again, again. Today, today, today. What does that mean, Stan? You know what it means. Don't misquote me. Your salvation, the one that you first established, can last forever if you're willing. These people weren't willing. They wanted the covenant, and they didn't want no strings attached. It's like teenagers coming to you for money. Give me some money. I don't want your rules. I just want your money. Come on. My allowance is due. Well, you didn't do this, and you didn't do that. And that was, I don't care. I need my money. I'm going to look bad out there if I don't have it. Well, look bad. That's okay. My word has no place in you. 38. Now listen, I speak what I have seen with my Father. And you do what you have seen with your Father. Woo! Did you hear that? Jesus said to them, yeah. You're watching me, you're questioning me, and I'm doing what God's telling me to do. He's my Father, and I'm telling you, you're doing what your Father's telling you. And it ain't what I'm doing. What is He finally saying? I don't care about your testimony. I don't care about your words. I don't care about your covenant. I don't care about nothing. I see your deeds. And your deeds stink. 39. They answered and said to Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. I say to you publicly and everybody that ever hears this voice ever again, if you are a son of God, you will do the things that your Father teaches you and tells you. You will stop doing what you want to do. You will stop saying what you want to say, and you'll stop going where you want to go. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. Anybody ever seen that around this place? I don't have to be the only one here, but I'll just say how many people you know that want to kill me. You see, if somebody don't want to kill you, you're not walking in the steps of Jesus. Let that go down. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. They don't believe in depravity of man. They haven't gone to the right schools. 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Listen to me. We're going to have to learn to say this to each other. If God were your Father, you'd love me. Whoop. Hot seat time. If God were your Father, you'd love me. Because He loves even the unlovable. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Jesus said, why can't you understand what I'm saying? Let me give you the answer. Because you are not able to listen to my word. We could spend about a year right here, Patrick. For those that have refused, that have left this body, that have cursed us, and I found out the other day some still cursing, literally cursing us, wanting to know what's in my house and is anything. I got a name that's bigger than his name, though, I promise you. Amen. I'm not afraid of that. The reason this happens, listen to me carefully, the only time we ever sin is when we refuse to listen to God's Word. The only time that we sin is when we refuse to let the Word of God penetrate us. Some of us, we say we want love, but we've got something in our past that we're afraid to be touched by love. And the minute we're touched by love, we get violent. And we react the same way with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is love. And it touches us. And it touches us in a way that we can't describe. It feels bad, but it feels good. It makes me want to run, and it makes me want to fall. It makes me want to hide, and it makes me want to shout, the Word of God. And I have to make the choice which I'm going to do. Which am I going to do? Am I going to hide from this Word? Am I going to receive this Word? And that determines heaven or hell. That's how simple this is. That determines heaven or hell. All right, let's go on. You're not able to listen to my Word. 44. Now listen. You are of your father, the devil. Now, do you understand that Jesus' whole point here is that your actions determine your father, or your father determines your actions, whichever way you want to say it? Not your covenant, not your howling at the moon, yelling Jesus, but your actions. Got quiet, didn't it? He got real quiet. This is Jesus, the one you say King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and is the Word of God. He said, I don't care about your covenant. I care about your actions. You will do the works of your father. You are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. If there's no truth in you, we have a basic idea of who your father is. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and he's the father of all lies. That's why all liars go to hell. Okay. Now you can close your Bibles just for a minute. And I've got a few pictures here I want to draw you. From the Word of God, not from my own opinion, what does those that are hell-bent look like? What are those that are determined to go to hell, what do they look like? Well, we know they're bent to lie. You can call them up on the phone. And you can say, how are you doing? And they say, oh, I'm sick. I've been bedridden for 30 days. When you know yesterday we're out partying. Woo, come on. You know it's a lie. You know what they told you is a lie. So you know who their father is. All right, I'm going to list them down here. Here's one. They resist and despise authority. They resist and despise authority. I'm not talking about a false authority. I'm talking about God-given authority. A true Christian, let me listen to me for a second. A true Christian never resists God-appointed authority because that's resisting God. Is that complicated? That's real simple. A true Christian does not slander or touch God-appointed authority because they know that's a quick way to get out of the presence of God. Another one. B. They want to be the only and the final authority. Now, what did Satan want when he was in heaven? He rebelled against God because God was God-given authority. He thought he would be better, so he resisted God-given authority because he wanted to be the authority. And so God hates that. Let me make you a promise from God. If you want to be something that I don't appoint you, you will never be that. I'll make sure of it. Here's a word from God that's real uplifting. You want to be something that I don't make you, I'll make sure you never get there. What am I saying? We've got people in this room right here that have God-given abilities. They can touch people where I can't touch. And they refuse to obey God, so they're going to be out of that. They'll never be appointed or allowed to be in that ministry until they first learn to be what God told them to be. What's the first thing God told you to be? A follower of Him. Right? You're never going to go. You can have the heart of gold. You can have the heart of David. You can have the heart of many other women and men in the Bible. And it won't do you any good if you don't first become a true follower of God. You're never going to step up into the next step of your ministry. Or you're going to lose what ministry you had. It's that simple. See, to get where they want to get, they try to subvert and undermine true authority. The devil's way. Think about heaven. Think about Satan. He went to all the other angels, prepared this force that he thought could overthrow God. So foolish to know, or not knowing that he could never overthrow true authority. So, if your father is Satan, you're on your way to where he lives, you're going to do that. You're going to backbite, stab, go try to build an army against the true leadership, and you're going to fall and fail every time. D. They lie. They make things bigger than they are. They make things smaller than they really are. They cover up. They expose people that don't need to be exposed. They cover up their deeds and try to expose other people. They hide their deeds and lies, and they try to expose other people with lies. Come on. There ought to be all kinds of faces coming in your mind. E. They have a false witness. We just read. They say they are Christians when their lives prove otherwise. That's their father, Satan. They do not act like Jesus. They don't act like Jesus. We just read in the Word. If they're doing all kinds of deeds of Satan, if they're acting like him, if they're spitting like him, smelling like him, their father's Satan. Okay. F. They're always fearing something. I'm glad to hear that Tanya got, or was it, no, it's you. You got help. You got some release from things. Because that's a sign of ministries going on. But if you stay fearful of something in your past, childhood, bad parents, bad marriage, bad... Well, that's just a pile. That's all that is. You're looking for an excuse to serve your father Satan. I don't want to hear it. Throw away the excuses and get better. God don't want to hear your excuses. He wants to hear your repentance. That means I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I hate that I just did. I'm sorry. And God says, "Woo, man, there's somebody I can help." But if He comes to you and He points out a dark spot, something that you've done, something that you've said, and you say, "But it's the wife you gave me or the husband or the past life," He can't help you. Throw away the excuses. You don't have any. And if you do, you shouldn't use them anyway. They're always fearing death. They're always fearing somebody's going to get in their pocket. They're always fearing somebody's going to take something from them. They're always feeling, because I got hurt in the past, I can't get any love now. And if it's there, I'm going to run like crazy because I can't go there. Well, God is love, so you're running away from Him. Gee. No self-control. Absolutely no self-control. Let me point out something to you. I always stand amazed at this. Lucifer was in heaven. Can you picture this? He was in heaven. He was the praise and worship leader, extraordinaire. He got the position where he could walk right into God and lead the angelic forces in praise. And it wasn't good enough. Can you picture this? Heaven wasn't good enough. And he was hierarchy in heaven, and it wasn't good enough. Now, are we satisfied with anything? Can we be satisfied? Or do we need something changed just a little bit better than the last time? Well, I'm never satisfied in God. I'm asking you, am I satisfied in Christ Jesus? I want God to change me. Why? So that I could be in Christ Jesus and be satisfied. I'm not afraid to be in Christ Jesus. I'm afraid to be away from Him. I'm afraid to be out of Him. I'm afraid to be out of His presence. And I know that some things I can do that takes me right out of His presence. I don't want to be afraid of anything. I don't want to be afraid of anything. You know what I mostly don't want to be afraid of? God's authority in my life. In whatever form that comes, I don't want to be afraid of God's authority in my life. And let me give you a little warning. If you have that fear in you, God will touch it with authority. If there's rebellion in your life, God's going to touch it with authority. If there's rebellion in your life, God's going to touch it with authority. All right. No self-control. I can't control my eating. I can't control my anger. I can't control my love. I can't control my actions. I can't control my feelings. I can't control my mouth. I can't control my thoughts. I'm out of control. Does that sound like a Christian? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. God, I don't want to hear it. He will help you with those things that are out of control in your life. And He will help you until they're in control. But the minute you say, "I am out of control, I can't control this," it's over. You can't be controlled. Not by you, not by God, not by anybody. Check it out. Aye, no peace. Even when all around is peaceful and glorious. Always at war with others. No peace. You know what Jesus did? Jesus had peace when they were trying Him, when they were accusing Him, when they took Him to the cross, when He was dying, when He was buried, when He was resurrected, and He still got peace. And if you are out of peace, you ain't in Him. If war against the brethren is your deed, if that's what your action is, and I'm not talking about your decision, I'm talking about if that's your actions, check your father. I'm not saying that we don't work on each other like iron sharpening iron. That's not what I'm saying. I am not always going to be the most friendly person in the world. Make you a promise. I'm not always going to say the things you want me to say, or I'm not always going to hear what you want me to hear. That's the fallacy of flesh. But you know what? As long as you and I are agreed, we're going to be at peace. When the day's over, when the telephone's hung up, when the conversation's over, we're going to be at peace. Because the Bible says, don't let the sun set. That don't mean I got to get you straight before the sun sets. For those of you that want to use that as manipulation, it does not work. You don't go make somebody else at peace before the sun sets. It means you get at peace before the sun sets. If it takes an apology, if it takes whatever, you do it. But you know what? I sleep good. And I don't have to sear my conscience. I can run through my day's events. I can apologize. I can do whatever I need to do. But I can tell you this, at the end of the day, I'm going to sleep like a baby. I found out a long time ago, I had a young man ask me years ago, he said, you seem to be a wise man. Can you tell me, what's the answer? What's the answer? I've never been asked such a direct question and put me back on my heels so fast. You seem to be a wise man. What's the answer? And I said, sleeping good at night. Sleeping good at night. I said, you see, I stand before God every day. And I know that I stand before God every day. There is no hidden action. Do you hear me? No hidden action at all. I stand before God with every one of my actions, and I'm judged every day by Him. And if I find myself clear at the end of the day, I sleep like a baby. I said, nothing's more important than all of life. Come on. You hear me? I lay there, my eyes are shut. I look into the eyes of God, and He's pleased. I sleep good. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to stay awake at night. If I do, it's for a good purpose. He's correcting. I'm not afraid. I'm not going to die of a heart attack because of worry. Jay, false love. False love. False love, false love, false love. A smile, a hug, a covenant, a handshake, a kiss. Jesus found out in flesh what that was all about. A kiss on the cheek to betray. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, before that chicken clucks three times, you're going to do it. Come on, He knows. He knows we're going to say things sometimes that aren't covenants, but He knows sometimes as people reach around to give us a hug, they got a knife in their back and they just go... And we're not to develop an iron plate so that that doesn't happen. We're just not to fear. Jesus did not stop Judas. He just didn't fear Judas. He didn't hate Judas. He just didn't worry about him. Here's what happens. Oh, I love you. You're such a marvelous sister in Christ. Just appreciate you so much. Until I get on the phone the next 5 minutes and I got some other things to say about you to some other people. I just love you so much unless you cross me, and then I'm going to slaughter you like a pig. I'm going to just stick a knife in and just gut and gill you right off the bat. I just let my mouth say any stinking thing it wants to say. And that's my love I've got to give for you. That sounds satanic, doesn't it? Okay. K sees work as their value and worth, not Jesus. You cannot work at earning salvation. You can only work at your salvation. There's a big difference. Hey, listen, this church can feed 10 million people with all the food in the world. You can feed 10 million people with all the money and the food in the world. And if you don't serve God, you'll go straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Don't be deceived by Satan. He tells you can work your way into the kingdom. You cannot. You cannot. The only work that we have to do is a close, close relationship with God. Close relationship. Here's a real important one. L. Write this down three times. Cannot keep long-term relationships. Cannot keep friends. Cannot keep in a body. Cannot keep things that are important to God. Nobody walks into a body and says, this feels good. You were led there. You were led there. God calls people. He doesn't herd people. Shepherds herd people. God doesn't herd people. He calls them. He says, that's where you'll attend. That's your friend. That's your spouse. That's your work. And that's your law. Does that make everybody feel good? See, our problem is sometimes we have a hard time making up our minds, so we think that God does. We get confused. I don't know what decision to make. And so we look at God like He's that way. No. No. God knows before the foundations of the earth exactly what He wants in us. The rest of the work He does trying to get us there. Amen? I used to not understand this. I'm understanding it very clearly now. The reason that people have short-term relationships, that they cannot keep friends, that they cannot keep people around them, is they don't have the same Father. Now let me tell you another thing that you can see. God the Father in you draws you to God the Father in someone else. Satan the Father draws you to someone else that has Satan as their father. So, ungodly relationships is another one. Cannot keep long-term relationships because the father, Satan, his whole job is to kill, steal, and destroy even his own. That's why Christians can make relationships and they can last forever. But two Satan worshipers are going to fight. They're going to fight forever. Because the whole goal of Satan, even if they're friends, is to kill. So it's not going to last. Oh, but there's some godly reasons. I just couldn't stand that pastor because he thought he was the Messiah. Well, that's a good one, isn't it, Harry? He thought he's the Messiah. He didn't give me enough praise when I worked hard in that church. I sinned openly, but he talked about it. Aren't those good excuses? Oh, no, I just didn't like their praise and worship. Maybe that's because you never would do it. Maybe it's because you sit there like a bump on a log. You didn't get into it. Well, that friend, you see, I thought he was one thing. He turned out to be another. M. Truth. Common sense. Value judgments are far from them. I cannot figure out. Do you know that about 90% of my life is spent trying to figure out why in the world somebody would do that stupid thing? It didn't profit. It didn't make any sense. It didn't win any friends. It didn't accomplish anything good. What in the thunder was all of that about? Come on. Some of y'all have been involved in that. Did they hear what I said? I don't think so. What I said was I spent a lot of my time trying to figure out why you did what you did. That's what I said. The more Satan is active in our lives, the less common sense that we have. 2 + 2 = 5. Fighting makes peace. Cursing makes friends. Lies sets everything straight. I can lie about something and make sure it's okay. Woo, that's not sense. All right, we'll move on. N. We'll not sacrifice self for others. 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 Don't tell me your father's Jesus, your husband's Jesus, your Lord is Jesus, your King is Jesus, your hero's Jesus, and tell me you won't take up your cross for somebody else. Speak to the hand. O. Always offended about something. Usually ridiculous. P. That's what that was. Double-minded. Unstable. Never know what mood they will be in or how they will respond. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my Father's Jesus and I. You never know how I'm going to respond. Where I'm going to fly off the handle, kiss you in the mouth, give you money, steal your money, tell you how great you are, tell you how bad you are. That's only 4 breaths. Come on. Your Father's Jesus, people are going to know always how you're going to respond. Oh, this is tough. Q. Self is more important than God's will. Self is more important than God's will. What I want. How I want to act. I don't care what God thinks. I don't care what you think. I don't care what I think. I don't care what the world thinks. I'm going to do it my way. And I'm going to sing about it. I did it my way. And people applaud. And Jesus preached to His own. And He said, if you do it your way, you're doing it wrong. If you do it God's way, you do it right. R. Cannot tell truth. Cannot recognize the truth. Absolutely find it difficult to tell the truth. Absolutely find it impossible to believe the truth. S. They're not called. People don't recognize that they're called. I've tried to tell you. I'm going to tell you point blank, and I'm going to tell you if you don't understand this, if you don't get it in your craw, your father's always going to be Satan. You are called. Everyone in this place is called. When you're saved and born again, you are called. And you've given up your rights and you've given up your choices. And if you're called to be a wife, you'll be that and you'll shut your mouth and you'll do it. If you're called to be a husband, you'll shut your mouth and you'll do it. And you'll do it exactly the way God says and not how you want to do it to make peace. If you're a child, you'll be that child until you're no longer a child. And you'll shut your mouth and you'll obey it as you're supposed to. And if you're a member of a church, you'll be the member of the church as God's ordained, not as you ordained. And here's the last one. If you're called to be a preacher, you're going to preach it no matter what anybody thinks. It don't just apply to you, it applies to me too. And if I don't, then I'll get a hard heart and I'll be perverted, and pretty soon you won't hear the truth. You'll hear a political message. You're called to friends, you're called to marriages. Be called. Don't be floating, be called. Know that you're pinned down to something called the will of God. Everybody in this room has options. Connie and I have options. We don't have to be in Denver. I have a lot more ties in South Texas, Louisiana, Kentucky, New Mexico. I can go places and be at peace. And I can love it, except for one thing. I got pinned by the will of God. And nothing else matters but that. And I know that I can go, listen, I can move to Cozumel tomorrow with a fleet of 40-foot boats, dive boats, and I can be a dive master. I'd lead dives 3, 4, 5 times a day, and I can lay on the beach the rest of the time. Sounds good, right? Except I know it's going to be hell. I don't care what it sounds like, it's going to be hell, because it's not the will of God, therefore it's not the presence of God. It's nice for a vacation. It's even nice to think about just for the moment. But you better come back to the truth that you're called. Key. Here's a little childlike statement. A child of God gives a smile on God's face. A child of Satan puts a smile on Satan's face. The last thing you were involved in, did it make God happy or did it make Him sad? So who fathered that action? Better repent. Better get it right. If you think that it made God happy because it was a party for Him, you repent and you change. And you tell God, I don't want to do that anymore. Help me, God. Help me, God. If it made Him smile, if it made God smile, say, thank you, Jesus. Make me do it again. But you're called. There's two callings out there, one of God, one of Satan. Choose. Number five, and I'm not going to spend much time at this. Number five, how do we stay out? How do we stay out of hell? A, do not offend God. Never put a frown on God's face. Always make Him happy. And by the way, that's not that hard to do. Just call loving Him more than yourself. Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Be like Jesus. C, cut off the offenses. Cut off the offenses. Now, open your Bible again, turn to Matthew 5. We're nearly through. Matthew 5, 28. Cut off all offenses. Matthew 5, 28. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You know why I read that verse? Because a sinner can't commit adultery. He is an adulterer just by his breath. He can't commit it. He is adultery. He's following another lover. Jesus is talking to Christians. He's talking to people that are saying, I love you, Lord. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. 29. Listen. And if thy right eye offend you, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Verse 30. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. Let's just get a 360-degree look at this. Let's do number one. Jesus is looking to Christians, and He's saying, if there's something you're doing that offends, cut it out. Cut it off. Don't do it anymore. Now, He picked a hard subject. Guys, He picked a hard subject. He talked about looking at women. Jesus was no fool. He knew to pick a subject that would hurt. Now, here. Jesus didn't want a bunch of blind Christians. We're not going to start a religion here where men are pulling eyes out and stomping. That's just stupid. Jesus was not teaching that. He was trying to get something across. If you have to look the other way, then you look the other way. If you have to think about your wife, you think about your wife. If you have to stop looking, stop looking. But stop it. Cut that offense off. Two-party offense. Actually, three parties. It's offending to you. It's offensive to you. It's offensive to the woman. It's offensive to God. We established that, right? Stop it. I'd rather you just walk around and never look at another woman than miss heaven. I know people that blow up. Just blow up all over everything. And they do it because they think it gives them authority. It's very offensive. It's stupid. Cut it off. Stop it. Well, this is too hard, isn't it? Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Well, you don't know how hard that is. Yeah, I know, that's why Jesus took that. All he wants you to do is go to him and repent. What's repent? Jesus, I don't like this. I don't want to do this. Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, you understand? He was having a hard time with his flesh. He wasn't just out there wailing at the olive branches. He was praying, God, help me. And God did. He always will. How do we know if somebody's praying? They're changing. They're changing. Now, if God will write this, will he not do this? Did you get that? If God will write this, will he not do it? He will cut off an offense, will he not? There's where you need to be concerned. If you're constantly going to be offense to the body and the kingdom, you will be cut off. Because God will never do anything or never ask you to do anything that he's not willing to do. All right, number three. Listen to me. If you're hanging around somebody that's an offense, cut them off. Right, Gene? Have to practice it once in a while, don't we? Renee? Stan? Come on, Bill. I'm talking about people that I know have painfully cut some things off. You will never heal some of your problems until you get rid of some problems. You tie dead bodies to live body, the dead body will win every time, I promise you. Don't think you're Superman. Don't think you're Superman. You can't hang around dead stuff. It'll eat you up. Okay? Now the final one, and we've done this in the past, and I'll say this to you openly. I will take the responsibility because I've already done that in God's eyes with the Genes and the Larrys and with things that went on, just absolutely ridiculous in the name of grace and mercy. I killed half the church. I did that. Are you hearing me? I killed half this church in the name of grace and mercy. Putting up with stuff that's pure nonsense and not calling it pure nonsense. Waiting way too long and let that cancer eat into the body to where when that cancer is cut off, it takes out half the body. And it will never happen again. You look into my eyes. I'm telling you, if I see a cancer eating, cancer's going to get cut off. If I see an offense, it's going to get cut off. Now, I'm not going to do it the first second because that's not God's way. But I promise you the hatchet's coming. I promise you. Because Jesus said so. Not because I want to. Because Jesus said so. How do we miss hell? A, be very careful. Guard your vision. Be very careful. Guard your vision. Don't let somebody else establish your vision. Don't let them change your vision. B, cut off all in self that offends God. Cut off everything in you that offends God. C, cut off all relationships that offend God. D, read God's Word for instruction, for change. E, pray for God's will for you and others. Pray for God's will for you and others. I didn't say pray that they'd be happy. I said pray for God's will. F, obey, submit yourself to proper authority. G, look and act like Jesus. And cut off everything that does not. Here's the statement of faith one more time. There is a real hell prepared for those that refuse and disregard the law and the will of God. It starts today and goes for eternity for those that stand against the best for them, the will and the Word of God. Now, we got hell out of the way. I hope more than just a statement of faith. I hope that there was a lot of hell driven out of people today. A lot of Father Satan out of people. I know it's helping me. You know, do you know how I know that it helps me? Because everything that you heard today was spoken to me first. You know what? I promise you, God never says, Stan, I want you to tell Bill this, and I want you to tell JW this, and I want you to tell Patrick this, and I want you to tell Gene. God never does that. I go in and say, God, what do you want for your people today? And he says, okay? If you don't believe that, on you. That's the truth. I feel better. I got it off my chest. Stand with me. There's been a load lifted from me, and I'm going to tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, I want to put a frown on the devil's face, and I want to put a smile on God's face. And that's the goal of everybody's life, should be the goal of everybody's life in here. Amen? That's what you should live for. That's what you should breathe for. It's what you should eat for. It's what you should go to work for. It's why you should come to church. It's why you should witness, testify, pray for the sick to be healed, and lead people in salvation. It's because you want to put a frown on the devil's face and a smile on God's face. When a brother or a sister, in Christ or otherwise, comes to you and they speak, you better speak to put a smile on God's face, not to make them happy. I'll be honest, I'm perfectly honest with you, the best time that I have with God is when I'm making sure that I'm not making you happy. I don't want to make you happy. I want to make God happy with you. I want to make God happy with me. All hearts clear. And this is an important question, knowing the subject that we just went over. I want every heart to be clear today. I don't care what it takes. I really don't care what it takes. You know who a Christian is? It's one that don't care what it takes. Doesn't care. Jesus didn't care what it took. We shouldn't either. If it messes up our clothes a little bit, if it messes up our face a little bit, if I have to swallow my stinking pride and apologize, if I have to swallow my foolish actions and say I'm sorry, so be it. And if you can't do that, I promise you this, if you can't do that, you will never make it to heaven. I'm going to say it again because I'm not too sure you heard me. If you can't swallow your stinking pride and your will once in a while, you will never make it to heaven. God will make sure that you have to do that. How will He do that? He will show you where you're wrong and then He'll make you face it. Why? Because He's mean? No, because He's always right and He always does what's best. In everything, in every action that's happened this week and last week, and it'll be next week too, to the pure, all things are pure. Titus 1:15, to the pure, all things are pure. Now you see, that don't just apply to me, Miss Pris, Mr. Pris, that applies to you too. And if you don't like the way something's going, and if you think it's impure, maybe you got the problem, since you probably aren't the final authority in the thing anyway. Sometimes truth just gives me goosebumps. It really does. It just makes me want to stretch a little bit or something. I don't know. I'm going to get so much into God that truth spills out so much that I get healed every time I speak. Because it says it sets me free. Hallelujah. Come on, all hearts clear. Do we need to pray about anything? Do we need to get anything straight? I'm hoping that that's what's happened, and I'm praying that that's what's happened all during the service. That it's not so much important that we come and weep and wail or whatever it takes. I'm saying that what it takes is a recognition of the truth and a yielding to that truth. That's what pleases God. A recognition of the truth and a yielding to that truth. Here's the truth. I love everybody in this place. I love everybody in this place. And I want to see everybody go to heaven. But it's not my choice. It's not my choice. My choice is to do the will of the Father. Therefore I preach, sometimes an offensive word, but I do it to please the Father. I pray right now in Jesus' name that every heart, that the blinders are pulled off right now, and that they see me for what I am, which is one that is a dispenser of truth and not somebody wielding a sword to hurt or penetrate. One that cares about you so much that He would spend His time delivering this word as God has delivered to me. I pray that this body becomes stronger every day. So strong that when an enemy comes in, the enemy is squeezed out or changed. Only two choices, changed or squeezed out. No ifs, ands, or buts. That the statement of faith that we proceed through now, that we step through now over the next few weeks, will be straight from the heart of God, not from the heart of Stan or man. I prophesy that that will be the truth. I prophesy that the crowds will grow, not just physically, but also spiritually. I prophesy that this tape, these tapes and these messages will go far beyond these walls, and they will touch for God Himself. Touch in the kingdom for God Himself. That Jesus will not be the last one to say that if you do this, your father is Satan. That there will be many messengers that come with that because they care about people enough to work at it. I love you, Lord. I trust you. Teach me not to be unstable, to be double-minded and unstable, but to be solid in the Word all the time. That anybody at any time can predict my next move, no matter what happens. That would be my supreme desire, Lord. That everybody in the world will know my next move because I reside in You. And that I can't be moved or shaken by every little wind of tear, emotion, or doctrine. I pray that in the heart of these people now, in Jesus' name. Let what I have spoken as a man fall to the ground. Let what has been spoken by the Spirit of the living God stand for righteousness, plant a seed that brings forth a harvest of holiness and strength and no cowardness. The truth and not lies. Controlled anger, not loose temper. If that's the desire of your heart, without anger, without guile, if that's the desire of your heart, then let it be known by agreeing with me by an out loud amen.
Amen.
It is finished. So be it. Bless you. Oh yeah, don't forget about the potluck afterwards. I don't know why nobody talked about that. Now let's put it up after the lunch. Just go get the food right now and then we'll get it up.